Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
Canada. The opening ceremony of the World Multicultural Festival was held at the Carleton Dominion Chalmers Center in the capital city of Ottawa on November 30th. Falun Dafa practitioners were among the 75 communities that displayed their colorful cultures during the 10-hour-long event. Ottawa Mayor Mark Sutcliffe, Police Chief Eric Stubbs, Member of Provincial Parliament for Ottawa Centre Joel Harden, and other officials attended the event and delivered speeches. Ms. Shin, an event attendee, said, "As soon as the music for the exercise demonstration started, the noisy environment immediately quieted down and the atmosphere became calm." Five practitioners each performed one set of the exercises, and another practitioner introduced Falun Dafa and the exercises to the audience. Many people received flyers that introduced Falun Dafa, and some later went to the Falun Dafa booth to learn the exercises.
East Java Province, Indonesia. International Human Rights Day was on December 10th. To express support, Falun Dafa practitioners exposed the ongoing decades-long persecution of their practice by the CCP in China at two events on December 7th. A peaceful rally in front of the Chinese consulate in Surabaya City took place that morning. Practitioners distributed informational materials to passers-by and collected signatures on a petition that will be shared with G7 countries, urging an end to the brutality. Most of the police officers on duty knew about the persecution of Falun Dafa and ensured the practitioners' safety at the rally. At a Ma Long City truth clarification event, many people were shocked to learn of the ongoing state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting from incarcerated Falun Dafa practitioners in China and signed a petition objecting to the crimes.
Romania. Falun Dafa practitioners set up a booth in the center of the historic mountain city of Brasov on November 23rd and November 30th. The festive atmosphere of the approaching holiday season drew a steady stream of tourists and locals. Practitioners handed out informational leaflets and told people about Falun Dafa and the universal principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. They also exposed the CCP's persecution of the practice in China, which harvest organs for profit from practitioners while they are still alive. They collected signatures on petitions that called for an end to the persecution. Sandra Zodi from Bucharest is connected with the Solsis School of Inner Knowledge and works for Solsis Publishing House. She said, "If a person follows the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, it could bring him or her to live in tune with his or her inner source, with God, with life."
Mexico. Practitioners were invited to introduce Falun Dafa to over 650 students and teachers at Zamna Secondary School in the Mexican state of Quintana Roo on November 11th. Many expressed an interest in learning the practice. The school principal said that the teachings of Falun Dafa would help them educate the students and encouraged everyone to learn it. The students watched a short video called Ragdoll, which introduced Falun Dafa and exposed the ongoing persecution of practitioners in China. They also learned how to make paper origami lotus flowers. Practitioners explained that lotus flowers symbolize the pure hearts of Falun Dafa practitioners. For those students who did not attend the exercise teaching sessions, but were interested in learning Falun Dafa, the school principal invited practitioners to teach the exercise in afternoon sessions during the coming year.
The Netherlands. The Art of Chen Chan Ren, Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance, International Exhibition, was held in the Dutch city of Bergen op Zoom over three consecutive weekends from November 22nd to December 7th. 38 paintings from the collection were exhibited in the Arsis Gallery of the Art and Social Foundation in the province of North Brabant. Visitors were moved by the images depicting the strength of Falun Gong practitioners embodying the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, while enduring persecution. Some viewers also shed tears for the pain the practitioners endured, and some said that the paintings were of museum quality. A local news website based in Bergen op Zoom introduced the art exhibition. At the opening ceremony on November 23rd, it was explained that the paintings have been shown in 50 countries and 900 cities over the past 20 years. The Arsis Gallery said they were proud to have the opportunity to hold the exhibition.
Croatia. The annual Croatian Falun Dafa Cultivation Experience Sharing Conference was held at the Hotel Atunović in Zagreb, the capital city, on November 16th. Practitioners from Croatia, Serbia, Montenegro, Slovenia, and Slovakia gathered to share their cultivation experiences. 17 practitioners discussed their experiences of practicing Falun Dafa, looking inward, cultivating compassion, and treating people kindly. They talked about how they seized the time to clarify the truth and fulfill their missions. Some specific experience topics included getting rid of a strong fighting mentality, nothing is trivial in cultivation, remembering the power of Dafa in the face of difficulties, and resuming cultivation and seizing the time to clarify the truth. A practitioner named Sven summed up the task of all practitioners when he said, "I must remember that I'm a practitioner. When I encounter problems, I must see in which areas I need to improve and think about why I encountered the situation."
Finland. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in the I Love Me Expo at the Helsinki Expo and Convention Center from November 29th through December 1st. The expo's theme was beauty, health, and fashion. This year, the event attracted 400 exhibitors and around 60,000 visitors. Many people watched practitioners demonstrate the Falun Gong exercises, and some asked for information about learning them. When people heard that the CCP was persecuting Falun Gong practitioners, many people signed a petition to help end the persecution and surrounded the booth to learn more. A Chinese woman working in Finland told a practitioner that she read the main book of the practice, Juan Falun, when she was very young and had also practiced the Falun Gong exercises. She reported circumventing the internet Great Firewall when she was still in China to read overseas information and was well aware that the CCP blocks information and covers up the truth. She agreed to quit the Youth League, a CCP political organization.
Canada. The winter holiday season is always a busy time for Toronto area Falun Dafa practitioners in the Tianguo Marching Band and Waist Drum Team. Over the course of the last two weekends, they participated in a Christmas parade in the nearby city of Markham on November 30th, and in the Christmas parades and celebrations in the Ontario city of Mississauga on December 1st, and the town of Bolton on December 7th. Many people took pictures and applauded. Chairman of the Christmas parade in Bolton, John Stegman, said he invited the Tianguo Marching Band to the event back in May. He was very impressed by the band's performance during another event in the city of Georgetown. He said he considers the Tianguo Marching Band to be the best he's witnessed.
Germany. a human rights organization headquartered in Göttingen called the Society for Threatened Peoples published a press release titled Falun Gong Practitioners Still Illegally Imprisoned in China. Freedom for Yuan Dongding in English and German on November 28th. The article criticized the CCP for its crimes against Falun Gong practitioners and called for perpetrators of the persecution to be punished by law. Jasna Kosovic, an expert on genocide prevention, emphasized in the press release the Chinese government must put an end to the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners, which has now been going on for 25 years. These crimes committed by the Chinese state, including acts that violate fundamental human rights and international norms. Those responsible must be brought to justice in accordance with Chinese laws and the basis of the UN Convention Against Torture. Jasna also urged the German federal government must vigorously stand up for the rights of people living in Germany who fled from repression by the Chinese Communist Party.
Australia, the George Street Festival was held in East Fremantle, Perth, Western Australia on Sunday, December 1st. Practitioners introduced Falun Dafa and the beauty of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance at the community event. The festival brought together more than 100 community and business booths, food stalls, and colorful music and dance performances. The Falun Dafa sky blue tent booth and peaceful scene as practitioners demonstrated the exercises attracted the attention of visitors. Many people learned the exercise movements on the spot and asked about local practice sites. Booth visitor Nina Parsons said, "Truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance will make the world a more peaceful and kinder place. That's what we need to do." The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China.
Ms. Guo Jinghan of Anhui Province credited Falun Gong for improving her mind and body, but she was targeted after the communist regime started persecuting the peaceful practice in July 1999. Not only was she arrested several times, but her pension was also suspended in 2004. In a criminal complaint filed against former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin in 2015, Ms. Guo detailed how the persecution Jiang initiated resulted in her arrest and torture. During one of her arrests, a labor camp refused to admit her due to extremely high blood pressure and sent her back to the detention center where she had a heart episode and lost consciousness. Only then was she released. Another time, police punched and kicked her because she held firm to her faith. They also hit her with books and other objects. Once, an officer beat her so savagely that she was unable to lift her arms for several days. They hung her up and beat her, all the while threatening to toss her out of the window or arrest her whole family. She lived the last 20 years of her life without a reliable source of income, but was still true to her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Guo Jinglin died on August 23rd of this year at the age of 73.
Mr. Shu Huaizhong of Heilongjiang Province used to work as the director of armed forces and was fired 2 months after the persecution began in July 1999 for refusing to renounce Falun Gong. Additionally, he was repeatedly harassed and arrested for his faith. In particular, he remained detained from 2000 to 2005, serving two back-to-back forced labor terms and extended detentions in brainwashing centers following each term. His wife, Ms. Jiang Shou-Fin, also a Falun Dafa practitioner, died on September 29, 2017. In 2021, following his track record of resisting the persecution, a task force would show up regularly at his home, but they themselves ended up listening to the truth about Falun Gong and were deemed by their superiors to have been counter-transformed. Mr. Shou was once more put in detention. Because he failed the required physical examination, the police held him in a hospital instead for 15 days. After he was released, he began to feel numbness in one leg. He later had a stroke and died on January 3, 2024, at the age of 70.
Mingwei recently confirmed the deaths of three Falun Gong practitioners in Qingtang County, Hebei Province. All three of them were repeatedly targeted for their faith. They were arrested together in 2004 and given lengthy prison sentences. Ms. Zhang and her husband were sentenced to 9 years while in prison. She was abused to the point of going blind in her left eye. Her husband developed diabetes as a result of the torture endured in prison. They faced constant persecution after their release. Ms. Zhang Rongjia passed away in October 2022 at the age of 66. Her husband, Mr. Qi Xiaoxie, died in August 2024. Mr. Xiyan Yuzhang was also arrested on November 12, 2004, and later sentenced to 7 years. He was arrested again in 2020 after being reported for distributing Falun Gong informational materials. He developed stroke symptoms but was still sentenced to 3 years and 7 months. He died on November 3, 2024, at the age of 73.
Ms. Jiang Guifan of Heilongjiang Province suffered years of persecution at the hands of the evil CCP. She was repeatedly targeted for upholding her faith. She was twice given forced labor and once sentenced to 3 years in prison. When she was not in detention, she faced constant harassment by the authorities, who attempted to make her give up her belief. In 2012, after a brief stay at the Daqing City Detention Center, she was admitted to the Heilongjiang Province Women's Prison. There, she had symptoms of a stroke and heart disease and was put in the prison hospital. After she was released in 2014, Ms. Zhang suffered from frequent headaches. By practicing Falun Gong, her condition improved a bit, but the relentless police harassment took a toll on her health. She filed a criminal complaint in the summer of 2015 against former Chinese dictator Jiang Zemin for launching the persecution of Falun Gong. The police harassed her in October that year and returned on a regular basis in the years that followed, until her death in mid-October 2024.
Ms. Zhang, a former nurse from Jilin Province, was arrested at her home on June 21, 2024, after the police discovered that she mailed letters containing information about Falun Gong. They confiscated two computers and some Falun Gong books. She was later indicted, and it was confirmed in early December that she was sentenced to 7 years. She has appealed the verdict. This is the second time Ms. Zhang has been sentenced for her faith. She was previously arrested in 2009 after she was reported for distributing Falun Gong materials. She was sentenced to 3 years by the local county court and admitted to the Jilin Province Women's Prison.
In June of 2024, a 59-year-old resident of Harbing City was sentenced by the district court to 9 years for her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Du Shouyan was arrested at home in April by the local domestic security division, who confiscated her printer, computer, a portrait of Falun Gong's founder, and Falun Gong informational materials. During a previous trial in 2018, she refused to admit guilt as ordered by authorities. While she was allowed to return home after the hearing, the judge issued an arrest warrant for her 2 months later and threatened to sentence her to 3 to 5 years. Ms. Du went into hiding on November 8, 2018, and was put on the wanted list.
CCP intensifies plans to attack overseas Falun Gong, Xinyun, and the Epoch Times. December 13, 2024. According to a leaked document, top CCP leaders have directed a new round of attacks against Falun Gong in the U.S. before President-elect Trump takes office. The Chinese Communist Party's Ministry of Public Security recently held a video conference chaired personally by Minister of Public Security Wang Chouhong. The meeting included internal directives from the CCP's top leadership, which have already been disseminated to the provincial and departmental levels in China and are being carried out. Most of the plan was drafted by Chen Yuxin, a member of the Central Political and Legal Affairs Committee and Minister of State Security, with support from the CCP's top leadership. The Ministry of State Security and the Ministry of Public Security are expected to intensify efforts to cooperate with this plan. CCP leaders are deeply afraid of U.S. sanctions, and Falun Gong practitioners hold evidence of CCP leaders' serious crimes. This is the primary reason the CCP leadership plans to intensify attacks on key figures at the Epoch Times, Xinyun, and others overseas. The final target of these attacks is expected to be Falun Gong's founder. The World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong received a confidential document related to the plan in early December 2024. The key points related to Falun Gong are as follows. 1. Mobilize all CCP operatives, that is the regime's internal name for special agents, and intelligence informants deployed in the United States. At any cost, they must approach the core members of President-elect Trump's team to quickly ascertain Trump's true stance toward the CCP and identify all potential sanctions the Trump administration is planning to take against China. 2. Increase support for individuals who oppose Falun Gong. CCP ministries and departments can provide them with more materials and intelligence, including photos and videos, while ensuring that personal information in these materials is handled carefully to avoid exposing the CCP's involvement. Financial assistance can be offered through means such as donations. Select public opinion operatives, commonly known as the 50 Cent Army, who are familiar with Falun Gong from various regions in China and abroad, to participate in this effort. Focus on fabricating claims that Falun Gong violates U.S. laws and disregards the U.S. government's authority. Use such narratives to pressure the U.S. government and relevant institutions to cease support for Falun Gong, to ultimately achieve the goal of eradicating Falun Gong in the U.S. 3. Continue intensifying attacks and smear campaigns against Xinyun Performing Arts, the Epoch Times, and key individuals and targeted individuals within Falun Gong. Operatives and new external propaganda resources can be mobilized to participate in overseas attack operations. Focus on disrupting and fracturing relationships within overseas Falun Gong communities. Specific actions can be determined locally by CCP agents and intelligence agencies at their discretion. 4. Activate all undercover personnel, that is, CCP special agents, to continue implementing the plan targeting overseas Falun Gong members to abandon their practice. This can involve setting up relief funds through Chinese business associations and using third parties with clean backgrounds to provide assistance to those who have exited. Provide financial help to improve the success rate of getting individuals to abandon Falun Gong. Additionally, leverage all individuals who have exited to continuously expose so-called dark secrets within Falun Gong. 5. Activate high-level operatives, that is, senior agents, to carry out critical operations of attacks and smear campaigns against selected high-ranking individuals within Falun Gong and the Epoch Times. The goal is to win over and convert one or two high-level Falun Gong members so that they turn against the organization at a critical moment, delivering a fatal blow to Falun Gong and the U.S. officials who support it. 6. The main goal is to make every effort to destroy relationships between Falun Gong and the U.S. before Trump takes office. While it would be best to eliminate Falun Gong in the U.S., at a minimum, the goal is to sever relationships between the Trump administration and Falun Gong and prevent any possible collaboration between the two.
Canada sanctions 8 senior CCP officials on Human Rights Day for grievous violations. The Canadian Governmental Department, Global Affairs Canada, announced on Human Rights Day, December 10th, that it would sanction 8 former or current senior CCP officials for human rights violations involving Falun Gong practitioners, Xinjiang residents, and Tibetans. Minister of Foreign Affairs Malani Jolly stated in a press release, quote, "Canada is deeply concerned by the human rights violations in Xinjiang and Tibet, and against those who practice Falun Gong. We call on the Chinese government to put an end to this systematic campaign of repression and uphold its international human rights obligations. As we mark International Human Rights Day on December 10th, Canada continues to condemn human rights violations around the world. Canada is deeply concerned over reports that China has arbitrarily detained more than 1 million people in Xinjiang since 2017, many of whom were held in camps and faced psychological, physical, and sexual violence," end quote. Tibetans have also suffered human rights violations by the CCP. This includes forced labor, arbitrary detention, and restrictions of their rights to freedom of religion or belief, expression, movement, and association. Jolly continued, "Since 1999, China has tried to eliminate Falun Gong practice in the country through arbitrary arrests, forced labor, and torture. Canada continues to raise concerns regarding human rights violations in China and calls on the Chinese government to uphold its international human rights obligations, including through the United Nations Human Rights Council." Among the sanctioned officials is Chen Quanguo. When Chen was in power, a large number of Falun Gong practitioners in Xinjiang were arrested, detained, and imprisoned with forced brainwashing. In order to avoid the persecution, many of them stayed away from home and their families were broken. A tighter surveillance network was also implemented during that time, including a large number of cameras and facial recognition systems. 1 year after becoming the party secretary of Xinjiang Autonomous Region in 2016, Chen spent $9.1 billion on maintenance of stability in Xinjiang in 2017, an increase of 92% from the previous year to suppress people. Another sanctioned individual is Wu Yingjie. Wu was named vice chairman of the Tibet Autonomous Region in 2003, deputy regional party chief in 2011, and in 2016, was appointed as CCP Party Secretary of the Tibetan Autonomous Region. Many practitioners were arrested and detained during that time. The Global Affairs Canada website provided more details on the 8 officials sanctioned.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.